Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jan Balaba Girivadhari. Gopi Jaya Gopi Jan Balaba Girivadhari. Jasodanandana Braja Janaranjana. Jasodanandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paribhajakacharya Asta Tarathata Shri Srimadhi's Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Shri Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopinath Shamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mathura Dham Ki Jai Navadweep Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Swami Ki Jai Yamuna Mai Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Sri the Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Sunyavadi Pasyacha De Satarine. I knew that was going to happen. Hare Krishna. So we're going to read today from Bhagavad Gita, from chapter 7, text number 7. And here's my show and tell. Okay? Those of you who are familiar with Bhagavad Gita, this might ring a bell, what I'm going to talk about. What do you see here?
Pearls on a thread.
Exactly. Sutra Mani Gana Eva. That's the Sanskrit for it. We'll get to that. Okay? So, I just had to bring my show and tell because it makes it more, you know, doable, right? Okay. I'm going to bring it up a couple of times and hopefully all the pearls aren't going to fall off. Ha 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 ha. Okay. So, this is Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7. The chapter is called Knowledge of the Absolute. Krishna is speaking with Arjuna and he's telling him about some of his glories. So here's what he has to say today. Oops.
Can you
tell me
the Bhagavad Gita in the back? Because it has a different font.
In the bookshelf, it has a broken back to it. You won't be able to see it. It's right there, yeah, in the middle. if that's possible. Okay, here's the verse. If you can, if you're up for it, you can repeat after me. Mata parataram nanyat. Mata parataram nanyat. Kinchid asti dananjaya.
Kinchid asti dananjaya.
Kinchid asti dananjaya.
Kinchid asti dananjaya.
Mayi sarvam idam proktam.
Mayi sarvam idam proktam.
Mayi sarvam idam proktam.
Mayi sarvam idam proktam.
Sutre mani gana iva.
Sutre mani gana iva.
Sutre mani gana iva.
Sutre mani gana iva.
Mata parataran nanyat. Kinchid asti dananjaya.
Kinchid asti dananjaya.
Mayi sarvam idam proktam.
Mayi sarvam idam proktam.
Sutre mani gana iva.
Sutre mani gana iva.
So here's the translate. Here's the word for word, and then you'll see what we're talking about. Mata, beyond myself.
Beyond myself.
Parataram,
parataram.
Superior.
Superior.
Na,
not.
Anyat,
anyat.
Anything else.
Anything else.
Kinchit,
kinchit.
Something.
Something.
So, mata parataram nanyat. Kinchit means there's nothing. Krishna's saying, Krishna's speaking, and he's telling Arjuna, there's nothing superior to me. And then he says, kinchit. Kinchit, not even a little bit. There's nothing even a little bit superior to me. Okay, then what? Then we'll see what else he says. Asti.
Asti.
There is.
There is.
Dananjaya.
Dananjaya.
O conqueror of wealth. That's a name for Arjuna, Dananjaya, a conqueror of wealth. Mayi,
in me,
sarvam,
all that be,
idam,
which we see,
protam,
strung,
sutre, on a thread, mayi gana, pearls.
Eva,
likened. So he's saying there's nothing beyond me, and that everything rests on him as pearls strung on a thread. So here's the translation. And I'm reading from an older version, so if it's a little different than your whatever up that's up on the screen, just bear with me. It's the same book, but the font is bigger, and that makes a difference when you're a little older. Okay? All right. So that's why I'm choosing this book, okay? O conqueror of wealth, Arjuna, there's no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. Let's say it together, okay? Thoughtfully. O conqueror of wealth, Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. So Srila Prabhupada, in all of his books, like, in this format, he gives an explanation so that we're not left in the dark what that actually means and how to apply it in our life. So Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse is very philosophical, very high up there philosophy, and I'm going to read it, and perhaps you might think, huh? What's he talking about? But we're going to try to explain it afterwards, okay? We're going to go from a different angle. We're going to talk about the pearls on the thread, okay? So here's Srila Prabhupada's purport. Now, before I even go there. Now, if you just look at the pearls strung on the thread, would you be thinking of a controversy, a philosophical controversy, by looking at these pearls strung on a thread? So this is what this is how Srila Prabhupada starts his purport. So there's a common controversy whether God is a person or is impersonal force. Huh? We'll explain it, okay? So hang in there, okay? There's a common controversy over whether the Supreme Absolute Truth is personal or impersonal. As far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, the Absolute Truth is the personality of God in Sri Krishna. And this is confirmed in every step. In this verse in particular, it is stressed that the Absolute Truth is a person. that the personality of Godhead is the supreme absolute truth is also an affirmation in the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. That is, the supreme absolute truth, personality of Godhead is Lord Krishna, who is the primeval Lord, the reservoir of all pleasure, Govinda, and the eternal form of complete bliss and knowledge. These authorities leave no doubt that the absolute truth is a person, is the supreme person, the cause of all causes. The impersonalist, however, argues on the strength of the Vedic version given in the Svetasvatara Upanishad, Tato yadutaram tad arupam anamayam yat etad vidur amritaste bhavanti etare dukam evapiyanti. And the translation for that is, in the material world, Brahma, the primeval living entity within the universe, is understood to be the supreme among the demigods, human beings, and lower animals. But beyond Brahma, there is the transcendence who has no material form and is free from all material contaminations. Anyone who can know him also becomes transcendental, but those who do not know him suffer the miseries of the material world. The impersonalist puts more stress on the word arupam, but this arupam is not impersonal. Arupam means formless, for those who aren't so familiar with the Sanskrit. Rupa means form, and arupa means formless. So the impersonalists are stressing formless, that the Lord is in formless. Prabhupada continues. It indicates, but this arupam is not impersonal. It indicates the transcendental form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge, as described in the Brahma Samhita quoted above. Other verses in the Svetasvatana Upanishad substantiate this as follows. Vedaham etam purusham, etc. I know that the supreme personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to all material conceptions of darkness, only he who knows him can transcend the bonds of birth and death. There is no way for liberation other than this knowledge of the supreme person. Here's another quote. There is no truth superior to that supreme person because he is the supermost. He is smaller than the smallest, and he is greater than the greatest. He is situated as a silent tree, and he illuminates the transcendental sky as a tree spreads its roots. He spreads his extensive energies. And as a tree spreads its roots, he spreads his extensive energies. From these verses, one concludes that the supreme absolute truth is the supreme personality of Godhead, who is all-pervading by his multi-energies, both material and spiritual. Omagina timirandasya jananjana salakaya chakshu umilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master very kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, and therefore, for that, I'm totally indebted to him, and I beg for service at his lotus feet, life after life. So I'd like to stress, I tried to warn you a little bit that the purport was quite philosophically dense, but what we're going to stress here is try to understand the metaphor that Krishna is giving. So the metaphor that Krishna is giving is that everything rests on me, like pearls strung on a thread. So let's talk about that for a minute, okay? And see what we can understand from that. So when we're looking at a pearl necklace, for example, what are the most important factors there? Any thoughts? You have to speak loud because it just merges. The thread. She got it right on the head. The thread is important. And it's already half open, so I have to hold on to it, or else there will be pearls all over the floor. So that's totally true. And that's what Krishna is saying he is. He's the thread that holds everything together. So now let's switch to the first part of the analogy. He said, everything rests on me like pearls. So what are the pearls then? How can we relate to the pearls? What are the pearls in that analogy? Creation, pearls of the creation, everything that's created rests on the Supreme Lord. What else are the pearls? The living entities, we are like the pearls on the thread. And Krishna, as explained in various parts of the Bhagavad Gita and Vedic literature, Krishna's situated in the heart of every living entity. Every living entity, not just any. And it says living entity, he doesn't say, I'm situated in the heart of the human beings. And he definitely doesn't say, I'm just situated in the hearts of the Americans. And he definitely doesn't say, I'm just situated in the hearts of the wealthy Americans or whatever. He doesn't. He says, I'm situated in the heart of every living being. So, what does that include?
Animals.
Anything else?
Insects.
Grass. He's in the heart of trees. He's in the heart of every living entity. Sharks. Started bringing sharks in just in case anyone was sleeping, you know? Sharks, he's situated in the heart of every living being. And so then another, let's think a little bit more about our pearls strung on the thread. So what else can we say about these pearls? Anything that comes to mind? You have to, I can't hear you.
Beauty,
they're beautiful. Everyone, that's a nice point, thanks for saying that. Everyone is beautiful, every pearl is unique too. Although these were manufactured by some machine, and they're probably very similar, still they're unique. So every living entity has something to contribute, has some, what else? Some connection to the other one. Anything else that comes to your mind about the pearls? They're equal. These are, for sure. They're equal because they're all part and parcel of. Ruchira Prabhu, did you want to say something?
No, because I was going to put the thread and the pearls together.
Not yet. We're going to do that in a minute. Thanks. Thanks for not jumping ahead too much. Yeah, so the pearls, they can be compared to Krishna's creation, because without Krishna, there would be no creation, right? What's the source? Okay, let me think of my Greek philosopher, Aristotle. Aristotle, he says that the Lord, the Supreme Person, he's the unmoved mover. Anything that's moving is moving because of some energy that pushed it. So who's the origin of that movement is the unmoved mover. He's the one who puts everything in motion. Not so very long ago, my dear darling sister sent me a Honda car commercial. It was a few months back. It was probably in the middle of the pandemic because why send me a commercial? Anyway, so, but apparently what it was, you know, the system of the ball drops down and then it rolls down the thing and then it activates something or other and then it runs over this and that squirts water over to there and then that runs over to there and then that makes the thing go around. Say that again?
Rube Goldberg machine.
Thanks. That's why we have you here, Cynthia. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So it was a very elaborate Rube Goldberg machine. And she was saying, this is an amazing demonstration because it wasn't animated. They had to arrange everything perfectly so that the first little movement of the ball did what it was supposed to do to produce all the other little movements to blah, blah, blah. And it was showing you how precisely engineered are Honda engines. Now, we're not advertising Honda engines in this class, but that was just the point of that thing. And that just reminded me of this in studying about our pearls on a string. How Krishna is the original mover for everything, but we have a connection. And the more that we forget that connection that we have to him and to the other entities near us, other living entities, that we have a connection, then the more our life becomes a distance from Vedic understanding, from understanding the absolute truth, understanding our commonality and our understanding our eternality and understanding our position with the Lord. So let's continue on with this example. Now let's talk about for a minute, and then we'll bring it all together. the thread in any necklace, and you can see that's the problem with this necklace because the thread isn't tied, but anyway, any necklace or even your neck beads, ouch, that sounded like something. Any necklace, the most important part of the necklace is what? Ruchira. The thread is the most important part. But what about the thread? Can you see the thread?
No.
You can't see the thread. That's how Krishna's arranged this creation. He's there behind everything. And a trained theistic eye can see that. And an untrained or an atheistic eye doesn't see that. And they think that the ball did this and did that and that and that did this and that and that, and it's all mechanical and all we just have to find out, you know, whatever we have to find out, but it has nothing to do with God. But actually a theist will see that everything is dependent 100%, 180% on the Supreme Lord. We're thinking... Oftentimes, what are we thinking? We're thinking many things. One of the things we're thinking, I'm the doer. I'm doing. I'm speaking by my ability. I'm speaking. But guess what? That ability for me to speak can be taken away. And probably some of you are thinking, well, I wish they would hurry up and do that. No, okay. Can be taken away at any second. It can be taken away at any second beyond my control. It's beyond my control. I think I'm controlling, but I'm not. I think I'm the doer, but I'm not. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that there are five factors in action, in every action. And the most important factor in every action is the super soul. The super soul, who's the thread that connects everything, that goes right through the heart. So again, if we take our little pearl, our pearl thing, our pearl example here, at a certain point, I know I'm going to spill all of these pearls. I know it. Right from the very beginning, I said, Nanda, don't bring the pearls. But okay. Our pearls, Krishna, interestingly enough, okay, I just thought of one thing. Going back to the translation of the verse, Krishna's saying, oh, Arjuna, there's no truth superior to me. Not so that the Sanskrit is, Mata Parataran Nanya. So in Sanskrit terminology, that's very strong language. Mata, there's not me, there's not parantara, superior, anyat, na anyat, not even a little. Nothing is superior to me. So there he's saying, I'm the most potent, I'm the most powerful, I'm the most important, I'm the source of everything. So, and then he says, kinchit, not even a little bit. Not even a smidgen, as they would say. Not even a speck. There's nothing close to Krishna or even superior by even a speck. But the amazing thing is what he says next about comparing everything to pearls strung on a thread. Because one would think that if the Lord is there declaring his superiority and his opulence and his dominion over everything, one would think, that the next thing he's going to say, so bow down to me or suffer. Or watch out, I'm going to throw a thunderbolt on your head if you don't do the right thing, because I'm so powerful. But what does he say? He says, everything rests upon me like pearls. He doesn't even say like everything else is dust and dirt and insignificant. He said, so he's appreciating, he's valuing his creation, his living entities, and comparing them to pearls. They have a value. Do you ever have those bad days, and I hope you don't have too many of them, when you think nothing's going right, and everything you're doing is wrong, and nobody likes you, and you're worthless, and you're this, and you're that, and you're like... But Krishna's saying, no, you're not like that. You're valuable to me like a pearl. You're unique, you're valuable, and I'm comparing you to like a pearl. So we have some, it brings us up. It brings our consciousness up. Yes, I'm part and part of Krishna. I have a service to render. I have a place to render that service. I have I have something that I can do, even it might appear totally insignificant. The fact that I came to the temple today and brought a bag of rice. For anyone who cooks in our kitchens knows that that bag of rice will be used up in 10 minutes on a Sunday feast. And probably they'll need 2 bags of rice to feed, 700 people at a Sunday feast. So it's significant for us to bring it, but it's insignificant. But Krishna sees it as very significant. That's the point I want to say. Krishna sees it as very significant. Sometimes the children, they go outside and they pluck the flowers, sometimes to the chagrin of the lady who does all the flowers around the edge of the property, around the edge of the temple. They pluck the flowers and they come in and they offer it to Srila Prabhupada. And it might look, oh, how insignificant. It's significant to Srila Prabhupada. It's significant to Krishna that they're giving, they're acknowledging, in their own little way, they're acknowledging, giving everything to Krishna. That's significant. So when and if we have those kind of days that we're thinking, I have no value, I have no service, I have no friends, I have no whatever, money, whatever the problem is. Just bring yourself up by remembering this philosophy. No, I have a significance in Krishna's eye. And that significance, we're insignificantly significant. We're insignificantly significant to Krishna. There's millions and uncountable hundreds of quadrillions of living entities in all different forms. What to speak of in human forms, right? But in all different forms. Just like when you're walking on the beach, sometimes the size of the living entity is compared to a grain of sand, which is quite large, because it's actually compared to one ten thousandth the tip of a hair on the head. Just to give you an idea of the size of the spirit soul. But anyway, let's just say it grew and it was the size of a grain of sand, okay? So you're walking on the beach, and let's just say you had a mystic potency that you could hear what the grains of sand were saying. And so the little grains of sand, as you make your first step, the one little grain of sand said, "Wow, you just squished me." And the other one said, "Oh, I'm the most important piece of grain of sand here." And the other said, "No, no, you're not. I'm much better than you. I'm way bigger. Look, I'm this much bigger than you. I'm stronger. I'm this." And the other one said, "Yeah, let's all get together and let's attack those other grains of sand on the other side of that footprint." You know what I mean? And it was just like, and then you're taking steps down and they're all having little conversations like that, thinking that they're the most important one and their home is the most important home and their country is the most important country and their consciousness is the most important. And it's totally insignificant. So Srila Prabhupada, he gives another example of throwing a rock into a calm lake, let's say, or a body, even the fountain, don't do that, no. In a lake, so you throw one rock in the lake and it makes the little ripples ripple out. And if you throw another rock in a different place and then the ripples, they collide together. But if you throw all the rocks in the same area, in the same general area, then all the ripples expand concentrically out. So Krishna's saying, put your consciousness on me. Put your consciousness on me. And yes, you're an individual, and yes, you're different than the other person, and yes, you have unique likes and dislikes. Put your consciousness on me and offer everything you do to me, and in that way, your whole outlook on life and your whole experience of interactions with people will change because Krishna will be at the center. And that's what he's saying. Krishna's saying, I'm the thread that goes through the center of all the pearls. Now, the different pearls on the string, they're conscious maybe of a few pearls down the street from them, and a few pearls up the street from them. But the ones that are really way back, if the necklace was like 4 feet long, the ones that are way in the back, they might not even know that they exist. But Krishna, going through the center of every pearl, going through the heart of every pearl, the heart of every living entity, he's conscious of everyone's actions, thoughts, desires. And that's the difference. That's one characteristic difference between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. That we're conscious of what's happening within our body, And maybe we're a little conscious of other people's, what's happening, people that are close to us, but not totally. We might know their thoughts, but we don't know all their pleasures and pains or whatever. But anyway, but Krishna's conscious of all of that. And if we give our consciousness, our endeavor, our love, our service to him, then we become united in that string, united in that necklace, that united in that service, and therefore things go, it might seem like it's not particularly significant, but it is very significant, because then you can see, just like we hear in Bhagavad Gita, Pandita Sarvadarshana, that a truly learned person sees the equality of all spiritual beings. He'll see he'll see that there's a spirit soul in that tiger body, in the elephant body, in the dog body, in the human body. He'll see the commonality, and therefore he won't discriminate and think this spirit soul or this body has no value, therefore I can, you know, exploit it, conquer it, kill it, eat it, whatever. He'll say, no, they all connected with the Lord, and therefore I have a certain relationship with them, and it's very, the ultimate result of that is very significant. So so this is a very intimate example that Krishna's giving, which shows us, gives us a glimpse as to his personality. When we talk about God being the most powerful, the most this or that, the source of everything, those characteristics are called Aishvarya, his opulence, his Aishvarya characteristics. So that's important to understand, that he's not a common person like we are. But beyond Aishvarya, beyond awe and reverence, there's there's his dear connection to all living entities, which right now I'm forgetting the Sanskrit, but it begins with an S. Anyway, huh? He's Surat Sarvabhutanam. He's the friend in all living entities. That's true. Thank you. But he's demonstrating how he's looking at us. He's not looking at us as, you know, insignificant. He's not calling us pieces of dirt. He's not calling us, you know, disposable, you know. You know, no, we have a value to him, and that value is in relation to our service to him, too. You know? And he also says in Bhagavad Gita, he also says, everyone follows my path in all respects. Which is, in one sense, it could be a little bewildering when he says that. How do you mean everyone follows your path in all respects? No, he said, this is my path. Some people are in different places on the path. Some people are turned around, going the wrong direction on the path. But everything is under him. Everything is in relation to him. And anyone who and people who cultivate, and this is a point that I'd like to try to bring out, to cultivate, to try to see the Lord's kind hand in all that we're doing, how, in our life, how the Lord is kindly directing things in our life. And one might say, well, that's really easy. And the mosquitoes aren't biting me. That's really easy when things are going good. Oh, Krishna is so kind. I just got an inheritance. Oh, Krishna is so kind. I just passed my health exam, or I passed my test in school, or whatever. Krishna is so kind. What about when the car crashes and we lose our job and there's trouble at home, etc., etc.? Krishna is so kind then also. And if we train ourselves to see how he's so kind in all aspects of our life, then it doesn't necessarily immediately mean that there's no miseries or no trials or tribulations in our life, but that we see them in a different way. And we have transcendental information behind it, so that we can see that when we lose a loved one in our life, we can see, oh, that person is a spirit soul. They have left the body that they were in, but they still exist somewhere. And because of their, and if they did engage in devotional service, because of their engagement in devotional service, they've made progress. So even though I'm feeling separation from that person, still that person's making progress, so it's glorious. It doesn't take the pain of separation away, but it definitely takes the edge off of it, you could say. So that's what it means. Look for Krishna's kind hand in your life. And he's always giving his calling to us, too. Krishna's giving his calling to us, calling us, reminding us, especially in the path of bhakti, in five ways. The acharyas explain that the Lord is calling us in five ways. He's giving us, you know, he's giving us his call through his devotees. When we associate with the devotees, hopefully we're getting remembrance of him, of Krishna, through the association of devotees. So the association of devotees or like-minded people is very important. So this bug, it's very important too. Sorry. Okay. It's very important. So he's calling us through his devotees because the devotees are reminding us of him. He's calling us through his deity form. We have the opportunity to see his deity form and be inspired by the opulence of his beauty, by the opulence of his service, by the and we have the opportunity to serve him also through his deity form. It's not just theoretical. It's personal. Krishna is a person, and he comes in his deity form to remind us and give us opportunity how to serve him. Give us, as sometimes we hear in our announcements at Sunday feast, do some practical service for the Lord. So this is a way through the form of the deity that we can approach the Lord in a practical way. If Krishna just presented himself as, I'm the supreme controller, I'm the source of all opulence, I'm the this, I'm the that, in such a grandiose description, we'll think, ooh, maybe I better not go there. Maybe I better not go too close to him because I'm so insignificant and what can I offer to him? But in his deity's form, he's saying, come and look at me. Come and see me, come and serve me. Come and offer me a flower. Come and offer me something to eat. Come and offer me, come and accept the food that was offered to me through his prasadam. And in this way, purify our life and our consciousness. So he's calling us through his devotees, through the deity, through his books. We have the opportunity, by Srila Prabhupada's grace, to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures about the glories of the Lord. We have that opportunity. So take advantage of that opportunity. Cultivate that advantage. It's there. He's calling us through his name. He said, I'm right there in my name. I am the same as my name. If you chant my name, I'm right there. So let's practice that also. Let's practice chanting his holy name with attention, with love, with devotion, and with feeling, and seeing how that makes such a difference. Just like, and we can see that, those of us who have been chanting for some time, I go through different stages, and sometimes my chanting is more attentive than others. And when it's less and less attentive, when I'm just mechanically, I'm saying some names, but my mind is thinking of what I'm going to do today or what I should do tomorrow or what somebody said to me the other day and why did they say that and why did that happen and look at that and whatever, then it's not so exciting, to say the least. But when there's some attention and love and an attempt to chant his name and remembering that I have a relationship, I have a relationship with him that will never be broken, never. Now, even like one might act in a certain way that due to at the end of their life, their karmic accumulation of reactions means that they get degraded into a lower species of life. Krishna doesn't give up. He doesn't give up on us. Oh, it's a dog. Look at that. She became a dog. Forget it. I'm out of here. No, he's still there in the heart. He's still there in the heart of the hog, of the scorpion, of the spider, of the snake, whatever. He's still there. He never gives up. He's sitting there. There's another example in Bhagavad Gita, two birds sitting on a tree. One bird is the living entity, the individual living entity, who's trying to be happy by eating this fruit and that fruit. And sometimes they eat some really sweet fruits. Sometimes they take the wrong fruit that's not quite ripe and they get a bitter result. So sometimes we're getting happiness and distress from our endeavors. But the Supreme Lord is also there in the heart, and he's an example, is like another bird who's just waiting. Waiting for that bird, the individual bird, to turn towards him. And so Krishna's making all arrangements through these five ways that he calls the living entities, through his name, through the devotees, through the Bhagavatam, through the books, and through his abode, through his dham. It's called the dham, his abode. And the temple is like that. The temple is like the abode of Krishna. And one can come here and take advantage of all the other activities and render some service perhaps or whatever, or just take advantage of the transcendental atmosphere and become uplifted by that. So this example always struck me, the pearl strung on a thread. It just always struck me as such an interesting way to explain the Lord's relationship with his living entities. He's not thinking for a second that they're worth, that they should be rejected. Even when one rejects the Lord, even when one decides that there is no God and that everything's happening by chance or by mechanical arrangements or whatever, even in that case, the Lord is saying, oh, that's what you want to think? Okay, well, here's another argument to help support your thought process. You know, he's giving us the intelligence even to be atheistic. Amazing, huh? So neutral he is. But at the same time, he's waiting for us to turn to him. And if we just turn to him with a little love, or even the aspiration to have some love, even if we can't find any love in our heart, which sometimes I experience, the desire to love him is sufficient. It's a start. It's hopeful. It brings about the growth of the relationship. And that's what we want to cultivate. So those are just a few thoughts. It's just so impressive that Krishna, he is, you know, when we read different pastimes of the Lord and it's different manifestations of Narayan, Vaikuntha, and opulence and this and that. Yes, that's all Krishna too, but Krishna's there and he has the love for the living entity in his heart and he's trying to make all facilities for them. And he's neutral. If we choose to forget him, okay, we can go that way. And if we choose to remember him, he'll give us all facility. He'll give us all encouragement to bring us forward on the path. Comments, questions, or discussions? Langa Ganesh Prabhu. Did I get that right? Thank you, Krishna. Krishna is the source of remembrance and forgetfulness. Thank you.
Very Haribol nice Prabhu. Class. Thank you very much. As pearls are strung on a thread, it causes that all the pearls are in association with one another. And Srila Prabhupada formed ISKCON for us to have association such as that.
Mm-hmm.
Each pearl starts as a grain of sand, and there are layers and mm-hmm. layers and layers of development. Mm-hmm. Each one individually develops. So the individuality is referenced as a pearl.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Prabhupada said to re-engage our spiritual identity with Krishna that we need to develop a sense of need to share our propensities in his service. So those propensities that develop like that pearl develops over eons are what Krishna is wanting from us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have a propensity and attraction to him, then those propensities will come out. And I can do this for
mm-hmm,
you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
nice.
That's what we're trying to stimulate in devotee association.
Cultivate, yes. Thank you for that. Yes, individuality is there. There's similarity in the fact that Krishna is in the heart of all living entities, but there's individuality, and Krishna appreciates it, and he made us all. I think it's the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna has innumerable characteristics, innumerable qualities, because there are innumerable living entities, and every living entity is attracted to Krishna in a certain way. So therefore he manifests a part of his personality in a way that will attract all the individual living entities. He has innumerable qualities because he doesn't want it to be a homogeneous soup. They're individual. Yeah, good point. Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Go ahead, Ruchira. Thank you.
That the thread also keeps everything organized. You know, like
yeah.
you said, if
yeah.
it came off the thread, it would be all scattered all over.
Exactly.
So Krishna also is the organizer of the yeah. universe and
yes.
and everything
yes.
as well.
Yes, thanks. And those pearls that have come off the thread, for that example, what their value is much more diminished than if they were strung on that valuable pearl necklace and had a place. And if you just have the loose pearl, sometimes in the morning, if you're astute and you're here in the morning when they're dressing the deities, sometimes you can hear, and then you know, oh, a necklace just broke or a bracelet just broke, and all the little pearls are just jumping all over the altar. But And so you have the same amount of loose pearls and you have another bracelet that's totally strung. And what's more valuable, what's more utilitarian is that bracelet, the pearls that are strung into the bracelet that they can, you know, be used in service like that. So, Hare Krishna to you. Nice to see you. Oh, you got a pearl smasher. Good.
Yeah, because I was helping someone.
Oh, you were doing service, making the tents go up. That is so nice. Thank you for that. Let's give you a big Hare Krishna for doing that. Hare Krishna! Thank you very kindly for your kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. And keep doing service, okay?
Okay.
Okay, good. Hare Krishna.